When my labor land toiling have ended below, and my hand shall lie folded in rest, and I'll exchange this old home for a mansion up there, and invite the archangel as guest. There's a mansion now empty, just waiting for me at the end of life's trouble some way. And many friends and dear loved ones will welcome me there. And near the door of that mansion someday.
Acts chapter 27 and verse number 31. Paul said to the centurion, to the soldiers, except ye abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Amen? Amen. I want to say good morning, and whether you're a member of this Franklin family, a visitor, or a virtual guest, I am grateful that you're here today. Really grateful about that, because God has given us yet another day. Grateful that he's also brought us together for yet another opportunity for worship, praise, and fellowship among those that be the saints of God. Also want to thank those of you who continue to pray for us and our family, and those who have sent cards and texts and have called as well. Your gratitude and your empathy does not go unappreciated, for I know full well that someone out there loves me, amen. And I'm grateful for that. Thank you once again. Now, shortly, we're going to open up the Bible to the book of John, chapter 15. We're basically going to just park right there, because a lot of the text is going to come from John, chapter 15 today. And the context for today's lesson entitled, Stay With Me. You just got to stay with me. You know, I remember as a young boy, I was leaving for the military. And I got in the car for my mom to bring me to the airport to go to Lackland Air Force Base in Texas. And there wasn't any TSA at that time. There was no restrictions. You just walk in the airport and you walk right up to the tarmac. And there'd just been an incident in 1980 where some soldiers were killed, and she was worried about that. A lot of the family wasn't up in arms because I was going in the military. But they didn't worry me none. I had to do my own thing. But she got out the car and she walked me all the way up to the point to where you get on the plane, and she just wouldn't leave. She kept holding my hand and kept hugging me. And even when they called for the last call to board the plane, she got up and started walking into. I said, you can't do that. You can't come. But what she was saying to me, that all those years, those 17 years that I had been with her, that she loves me more than I could think or imagine, and that she wanted me to stay with her. That gesture that she had that day may have been sad to her, but it was encouraging as well to me, because it said, you stay with me. Stay with me. We probably had occasion in our lives that we've come into contact with some folks who we wanted to stay, and some we just wanted to just and just go. But I want these three simple words to really capture our attention this morning, because these are the words that you will recognize as coming from Jesus Christ. You know, when a young man sets out to find himself a bride, he goes and he purchases himself a ring, and he brings that ring to his future bride, And that ring spells out these three words as well. And those words are, stay with me. Stay with me. These words also came from Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Savior. I'm gonna give you a little rundown in John's chapter 12, 13, and 14. There are multiple times in the text where Jesus tells his disciples, the time has come, and I'm gonna be leaving. In fact, in chapter 13, verse 1, Jesus said, the time has come that I should leave this world. And old Peter steps up and Peter says, well, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus says, where I'm going, you cannot follow me, but you can come afterwards. Then in chapter 14, he would say, in my Father's house are many mansions. And I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And so there's a concern because Jesus has always been there for them. He's answered questions. He's calmed the storm. Jesus has casted out demons. He's raised the dead. He's always been there for them. He's fed the multitudes as well as fed their souls as well. But now he's going to be leaving. He's going to be leaving. But he's not going to leave them alone. He's going to send the Holy Spirit, who's going to take up a place where he will no longer be. He says, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to take up a place where I will no longer be, and you will be comforted. And he says these words, so don't let your heart be, you with me? Don't let your heart be troubled because I'm leaving. You believe in God, believe also in me. Then he says, I want you to stay with me. In my Father's house, basically when he starts that narrative, he's saying, listen, I want you to stay with me. That's not his exact words. He doesn't use the word stay. He uses the word abide. I want you to abide with me. John also uses this word repeatedly. Just in chapter 15 of the book of John, he uses the word abide 10 times. And in 1 John, he uses the word 15 times. And that word, let me say it again, is abide. That word says, I want you to stay. You ever feel like that about somebody? You ever tell somebody that you love them and you just want them to stay with you, or you're just pretending, or you're just putting up a facade? And we put up that pretense for so long, we bring that stuff into the household of God, and we put on the pretense that, oh, how I love Jesus. We don't have no idea. We don't want to stay with Jesus, and we don't want Jesus to stay with us because we're gone somewhere we are not. Come go with me, Jesus. Stay with me. Stay with me. But the problem has come that Jesus is, he says, I'm leaving. I'm leaving, and you can't go with me. But I want you to abide with me. So how can they do that? He's leaving. How can they abide with him? There was no FaceTime. No Zoom, no Instagram. Listen, you're leaving and we're staying, so how can this be accomplished? How can this be done? I'm glad you asked that. Look at the screen, John 15, verses 1 through 11. Jesus says these words, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. King James Version is the husbandman. Every branch of me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, if you don't stay with me, you're cast out as a branch and is withered. They gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. But if you abide with me, if you stay with me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So we be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. You know, Jesus uses this phraseology, this idea about a vineyard and about a vine. And what I want you to know is that everybody in that day understood that. They didn't say, you know what, Jesus, stop talking about this vineyard, this vine stuff. Just talk to me straight. They understood all of that. And in this narrative, he made it very plain that the vine dresser, that the husbandman is God, who constantly asks us to stay with me. God sent his only begotten Son. He so loved this world, he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He says, I'm sending my Son so that you can what? Stay with me. Stay with me. He makes it plain. He says, I am the true vine. I am the source of life. And this is one of those seven I am statements in the Gospel of John. He speaks of the true vine. He speaks of being the good shepherd. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the bread of life. He says, I'm the light of the world. I am the door of the sheepfold. And finally, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. And the life. But here in John 15, this is what he says. He says, I am the true vine. The true vine. As opposed to all other vines out there that are false, I am the true vine. But interestingly enough, I want you to understand that from Isaiah 5, interestingly enough, this is what Israel should have been. Because God made Israel a nation so they could be the true vine, but they didn't succeed at that. God has made us a kingdom. He's made us a church. He's made us a people, an assembly, that we might be the true vine. And my question is, how are you doing with that? Are you representing God as the true vine, or you just planted in some ground somewhere? God made Israel a nation so they could be the true vine, but they didn't succeed. He said in Matthew 21:43, the kingdom will be taken away from you, and you'll be given a kingdom which will produce its fruit. And finally, he goes on. He says, and finally, you are the branches. I am the vine, and you are the branches. And vineyard branches that are connected to Christ ought to stay there. Listen to me. Branches that are connected to Christ ought to stay there. They ought to remain. They ought to abide. If you are a branch of the vine, you ought to just, well, look around. Amen. Because the key is, and John says it 10 times, the key is staying with Jesus. It's abiding with Jesus. So what does that mean? What does that mean that I have to stay with Jesus, that I have to abide? Listen, one must be connected to Jesus if you want life, right? This is the most essential relationship spoken about in these 11 verses. It's a very simple principle that says here that if you have no connection to me, you have no life. None. You know what it's like? Somebody has given somebody else flowers, or know somebody who's given flowers or received flowers. It's akin to that, right? Flowers are gifted on a number of different occasions. And initially, the flowers are beautiful. Am I right? But they end up what? Being thrown away. And why? Because they've been cut off from the source of life. The instant they're cut, they begin to die. Because the branches cannot survive without the vine. How are you doing with that? I'm the vine and you are the branches, and the branches cannot survive without the vine. So the only way to have life, the only way to have life and have it abundantly, Jesus says, I've come to give you life, and I've come to give it to you abundantly. The only way to have it is to remain in a relationship with the Lord. You have got to abide in a relationship with God. There's a lot going on out there in the world. There's a lot that bothers us. There's a lot from day to day that goes on in our lives. But you can't let those things get in the way of your relationship with God. I know some folks, like I said, you just can't live with. Been married with them for years and years and years. And some are just there, that says, until the kids get older. Some are just there because they don't want to leave the house. Whatever the excuse me. Listen, you have to abide with the Lord if you want life. Everything else is miserable. It's miserable. There are too many people living in their own households that are miserable when at the beginning they ask that spouse to abide with me, stay with me. Now we're sleeping in separate beds. Now we're eating at different times. Now we're going out at different times. That's not staying together. There are too many people that live in their own household and they are separate from one another. There are too many of us who live in the Lord's household and we are separated ourselves from God. And all Jesus asks us is to stay with me. Because of his love for us, he says, stay. What other reason do you have? Initially, you start out with that love. You do anything for that person. Anything. But as time goes on, you find yourself being pushed away, or you are pulling away from the love that you declared in the beginning, asking that person to just, look, I'm going to stay with you till I die. And that's exactly what you've done, because spiritually now, you're dead already. Dead. In 1 Timothy 5:6, Paul says that there are some widows out there who've been behaving so badly that they can be dead while they still live. It's like that movie we had years ago called Dead Man Walking. Remember that movie? We dead in our sins and trespasses in which we once walked because we followed the course of the world. But we made alive in Christ. We made alive by that abiding principle that God has given us, because it is by grace that you have been saved, not on your own. It is the gift of God. So spiritually, the point that Jesus is making here, he says all the nutrients that give and sustain life spiritually comes from him. He says in Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. The world and those who dwell in it, everything that goes on, it's sustained by me. And our spiritual lives are sustained by God as well. Everything comes from Christ. Now I want to tell you that when you look around, that's the one reason why Satan tries to keep you from Christ and away from the people of God. You know, the sheep that's in the greatest danger, you want to know the sheep that's in the greatest danger? Is the one that's farthest from the shepherd and the flock. That's the one. Now you find in ancient times that if the flock was in the sheep pen, all of them were there. And if one got out, the shepherd went to get that one. But you never saw one in the sheep pen and all the rest out. There's too many of us who are all out and there's not enough in the sheep pen. The shepherd cannot care for the sheep that are not in the sheepfold. You gotta be in the pen. And time and time and time again, we plead with people who are Christians to just come back to the Lord. Just come and stay. Come stay with me, he says. This is where my presence is. This is my body. This is the church, not out there, right here. We want to do what we want to do. We get out the pen and we our own sheep till we fall on our backs. Legs stuck straight up, can't do a thing but die. Stay with me. That's a simple principle. We say we love God. We say we want eternal life. Here's three words for you. Stay with me. That's why we put so much emphasis on everyone coming back together. COVID did us an injustice. Satan came and he busted us all up. Look at us now. But we're still standing. Why? Because God will always have a remnant for his people. There's only going to be a few. Is that what it says? A few? Fellowship and collective worship are so much a part of the abiding principle. Can't you see that? And so, abide in me, Jesus says. Abide in me. Stay with me. Not only do I want you to stay with me, I want you to go where I go. I want you to do what I do. He says in 2 John 1:9, whoever transgresses and goes along, whoever goes along does not abide in the doctrine of Christ. Listen to me. You do not have God. If you abide in any other doctrine that's not in the scripture, I don't care what religion it is, 2 John 1:9 says, if you go on and you do not abide in the scripture, the doctrine that comes from God, you do not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father, and that's plain. It's plain. Listen, I realize that you hear virtually every day on social media that the teachings of Christ, and I'm speaking to these young folks, they got some older folks that's into that too, but I want you to hear me too. I realize that you hear virtually every day on social media that the teachings of Christ, the doctrine of Christ doesn't really matter. Go to the church of your choice. Do what you want to do. Just identify with Christ. Let your spirit run free. What all that foolishness is, I don't know what that is. And you say it doesn't matter as much as making sure you love one another and you have a relationship with another. And that's very important. No one's going to deny that. But you also can't skirt around or deny the fact that everyone who goes along and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ, they do not have God. That's a fact. Fact. You can say you have God all you want. If you don't have the doctrine, you do not have Christ. Secondly, we have to stay connected to Christ if we're going to become what God has called us to be. Right? Because in this relationship with the Lord, he expects us to do something. But too many people want to have a relationship with the Lord and they want to come in and sit down on their thumbs. Let somebody else do it. I've already done what I need to do. I've been baptized and that's it. Okay. All right then. Listen, I'm talking to some smart people out here who understand God's will for their lives. The fact is, all of us are just the same. We got to have the will to want to do it. And all of us do not. We don't. We skirt around things. God expects us to do something. So the question is, what are you doing? What are you doing? You move into that person's house, you just got mad, and you just come in the house and you just sit down. Amen. We move into the Lord's house, we become married to Christ, and we move into the Lord's house, and we come in and we just sit down. He says, come stay with me, but he doesn't say, come stay with me and don't do nothing. Right? Nobody can do that. What was the phrase back then? Those women used to say, I can do bad all by myself. Don't need you. It's because you're wearing pants and got a job. You can stay outside. God expects us to do something. Look at John 15, 2 and 4. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. Abide in me, he says, and I'm going to abide in you. You stay with me, I'm going to stay with you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me, because without me, you can do nothing. Nothing. Here's another word phrase that John adopts as well. It's called bearing fruit. And that's seen 9 times in chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. And it's pretty obvious that if you abide in the Lord, you're going to bear fruit. You will. And you got to work real hard to miss that point. Bearing that fruit that's stated in Galatians chapter 5, if you abide in Christ, that means that the fruit of the Spirit in your life right now is love, where you at with it. The fruit of the Spirit right now is joy in your life. How joyous are you? The fruit of the Spirit is peace. Some people don't even like peace. Long suffering, talking about being patient. I'm talking about waiting in the line and the traffic. I'm talking about being patient one with another. Bearing each other's faults because we all have something that's wrong. I'm talking about being kind. Can't we just do that? Stay with me. Be kind to me. Stay with me. Goodness. Let's extract some goodness. That's good in all of us because everything that God made, he made it good. We messed that up. How about faithfulness? How faithful are you to God? How about meekness instead of pride? How about self-control instead of being all over the place? How about that? Because there's no law against those things. And if you're going to abide in the Lord, these things you are going to be very well abreast with. You're going to know about these things. You're going to live these things. You're going to love these things. You're going to bear fruit of the Spirit. But there, these are the very fruit of the Spirit of God. He wants us to develop and produce those things in our lives. And we can't do it alone. We have to do it by his help. But there's also one more fruit that's not there, and that's the fruit of obedience. Look at John 15:10. If you keep my commandments, is that word again, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. In this passage, what Jesus does is he conjoins love and obedience. If you love me, it's conditional, you will keep my, not do what you want to do. If you love me, so you got to decide whether you love him or not. That's what has to be done. 1 John 2:3-4. Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar and the truth. There you go. How you doing with that abide thing? So clearly this is part of the fruit which we have to develop and we have to produce. And thirdly, there's also the fruit of loving. John 15:12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. How are you doing with that? I'm grateful that people in this congregation loves me. And you know that I love you. And not only is it lip service, we show each other our love every day of our lives. Because we belong to Christ. And Christ shows us his love for us every day of our lives when we abide in him. So if you want to know, if you just want to know how to stay with Jesus, well, the scripture tells us that. It tells us that. And listen, if we want to stay connected to Jesus, we got to want to please God. Because you got to stay connected to Jesus in order to do that, right? John 15:8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you'll be my disciples. Like I said before, talk is cheap. It's real cheap. We can all say we're Christians, and everybody says that. As soon as you drop a dime, all have, oh, I'm a Christian. Where you go to church at? We can say we are Christians. We can say that we're all disciples of Christ. But Jesus said there is a fact, there's a decision that has to be made right here, right now. And by this you glorify the Father and you prove that you are my disciples because you bear much fruit. And that fruit is born out of love. You do what you're supposed to do. That's what that means. You do what you're supposed to do, because doing what you're supposed to do glorifies the Father. As a matter of fact, you know, God ain't impressed by your house. He ain't impressed by your car or the amount of stuff you have. Regardless of what value you've put on it, he's not impressed by that. But God is impressed by your heart. He's impressed by your faith and your convictions. And by those things, you prove your discipleship. You prove your love to God. When you ask somebody to stay with you, you know what? You're asking for their heart. And you take it, and what do you do with it? Do you hold it in your hand and take care of it as you ought to caress it? Or you get tired of it and you start walking on it? It's one of two things now, because we get tired real quick of some things, right? Christmas Day is coming. We play with them toys for about maybe a week, 2 weeks, right? And after that, we're playing with the box the toy came. It'd be better if we bought the box, right? God is impressed by your heart and by your faith and by your convictions, because by that you prove your love and discipleship for Christ. A living illustration of that was about the rich man and Lazarus in Luke 16. The Bible says here's a man that had everything. He was rich and he fed something. He ate all the time. His stomach was full. His closet was full. But his soul was empty. He had absolutely nothing, Jesus said. He was alive. He was living. But in reality, not being connected to Christ, he was a dead man walking. We got a lot of stuff. Got a lot of clothes. Got a lot of food. We eat all the time. Some of us have leftovers. What about your soul? Is your soul empty? Are you feeding other people from your soul? Because it's just overflowing with love and goodness from God. Let's go back to where we started. Jesus said, I'm leaving, and where I'm going, you cannot come. But I want you to stay with me. I want you to stay with me. So how do we abide with someone when you're not here? How do you do that? The first thing we do is we've got to obey what you know, right? Because sometimes we become so overcome with what we don't know that we overlook the things that we do know. So we've got to start with the things that we know, right? Proverbs 4:18, the proverb writer says this, the path of righteousness is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. What's he saying here? He says when it comes to our knowledge of God and the understanding of his revelation, it's kind of like the morning sun. Because when you first get up in the morning, you will find that dawn comes gradually, right? And as time goes on, you see things more clearly because the full light of day unfolds it right before you. You might not be able to see it because it's dawn, but as the day progresses, as the word of God progresses in your life, you are able to see things more clearly because the light of his word, it unfolds it right before you. So if you start with what you know, you'll be surprised by the fact that you know more than what you think you know. People say all the time, Brother Collins, you know, I'm not good at that Bible thing. I don't know too much of scripture. I don't know if I can understand. Listen, start with what you know, right? You just start right there, because you'll be surprised that you know more than what you think you know. And if you want to abide with Christ and bear fruit, let me say it again. Start with what you know. Not with what somebody else knows. You start with what you know, right? And don't let anybody influence you in any other way. You start with what you know. Matthew 28:19, Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm going to abide with you always, even to the end of the age. I'm going to stay with you always. So if you want to abide with me, and me with you, he says, I want you to teach. Anybody got a problem with that? Anybody in here feel like they can't teach? He says, if you want to stay with me, you have to teach, period, right? And don't just end your teaching at baptism. Teach them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And I'm going to be with you. Well, how about this passage? Very familiar one. Philippians 3:12, 15 through 16. Now that I've already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. All of us then, who are mature, should take such a view of things. And if at some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. It's amazing what Paul says here to me. Paul says that I still have room to grow. How about you? Paul says, I didn't get there yet. I still have room to grow. I'm pressing on because Christ has made me his own and I have made him my own. I'm pressing on because Christ wants to abide in me and I want to abide with him. And people who are mature, they think this way. This is how they think. So let's hold true to what we have attained. Stick with what you know. Because mature Christians understand that they still can grow. But I want you to grow with what you know. Hold on to what you know and live it. Hold on to what you know and cherish it. And don't allow anybody to undermine that. Don't allow Satan to get a foothold in your life. Let's wrap this up right here with this ultimate statement about the invitation from Jesus Christ. This is what he says in Matthew 11:28-29. Come to me. Stay with me. Come to me. All you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But you got to come. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. The word come, take, and learn are found in that particular verse. And these three words are relationship words. It's Jesus saying, look, come abide with me. He says, come and stay with me. I'll abide with you to the point that we are yoked together. That you can't even separate us. Anybody got a relationship like that in here? Married or otherwise? He says, I'm going to be with you so much, yoked together so closely with you, that you won't be able to separate us. Stay with me. Stay with me. Bound together and traveling the same direction. And being directed by God's word. There's so many people who want to be bound together, but they want to go in their own direction. You don't get to decide what the direction is. He says, come to me. I'm going to show you the way because I am the way, the truth. You don't get to decide that. You just come and stay with me, right? It's a blessing, man. Let me tell you something. To have a marriage that's not perfect, but it is wonderfully blessed in God. And you can have that. You can have it. But you have to abide in Christ. Abide in Christ. And understand that just because you're married to that person, you don't get to decide what direction they go in. Amen. You can decide that together and you can go in the direction together. Because together we stand and thank you very much. Acts 2:42, 44, and 46. These are the people that understood that like nobody else. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers. Now all people who believed were together and had all things in common. So they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking the bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. You know what Paul says right here? He says that this is conjoined with fellowship. Fellowship is a word which means to mix together. And we as the people of God, we come together to enjoy relationship and fellowship with each other. And teaching and fellowship cannot be divorced from one another. They are both equally important to God. Romans 8:29 says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. If you want to abide with Jesus, you know what he says right there? You got to look like him. Got to look like him. It's hard to separate a father from his children. I don't care who they're for and how many you got. It's hard to separate that, right? Because most of them end up looking like you. Am I right? Now think about this now. Some people have been married for so long, they say they start to what? Start to look like each other. Can you imagine that? Watch out there. People who get ready to be married, you might think, hey, it's going to happen. Start to look like each other. If you want to abide with Christ, you got to look like him. You got to behave like him. You got to talk like him. And if you can see him in your life, then he's really not going anywhere. He's not going. So you do your best to keep up. Let me tell you what I mean by that. Me and my wife went on a little vacation just a few months ago, and she had that little bitty small suitcase rolling it. I might have been walking maybe 5, 6 steps in front of her, just trying to get out of the airplane, just trying to get, you know, trying to get home. All of a sudden, you hear this noise. I look around, she done fell down with the suitcase. I look around, and you know what I said? Just stay with me, right? Stay with me. Sometimes in our effort to get to places where we ought not be, or the places where we think we're going, we don't stay with Christ and we find ourselves falling down. That's why Christ says, listen, stay with. Amen, you with me? Keep up sometime. I know our legs are short. Amen. Oh, I got to slow down. Exactly right. Yeah. Thank y'all. Thank y'all. You know, sometimes you walk a little too slow, your legs hurt, right? Amen. Jesus says he's not slowing down, though. He wants you to come to him and stay with him. His love will never slow you down, and you will never slow him down. Right? If you keep my commandments, you abide in my love. As I kept my Father's commandments, I abide in his love. Right? John 13, 33 and 36. Getting ready to close this up. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me. And as I said to the Jews, where I'm going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus says, where I'm going, you cannot follow me, but you shall follow me afterward. And then Jesus hit him in John 14, and we love it, right? It means a whole lot to you if you understand where he's going with that. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If we're not so, when I told you, I'm going to prepare a place so you can stay with me. Right? If it were not so, I would not have told you. I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you can stay there also. Isn't that a wonderful invitation? You got to want to stay, though, right? It was Jesus who said, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. And it's that action that changes your state and relationship from being outside of Christ to being in Christ. To truly being able to, in the true sense of the word, to abide with Christ. We've got to make up our mind right now today, right now. How are we doing with that abiding principle? Abiding with God. Abiding with our spouses, abiding with people on our jobs. It's incredible. The word abide, it says a whole lot. And we have to understand its principle. And all Jesus says from the very beginning, even up until this day, abide in me and I will abide in you. If we can help you do that today, why don't you come, we stand and sing the invitation song.
Why do you linger, wandering from the fold of God?
Will you one day respond to the invitation of God? Will you come and abide in the church that he purchased with his own blood? Will you come? The invitation is sent.
To meet thy God.
Will there be one today to respond? Will you come?
O careless soul, heed thy warning.
will soon be gone. Oh yeah, your life will soon be gone. Oh, fast to face the judgment. Face the judgment. Unprepared.
Good morning, good morning. Chuk Zagasebe, I'll be reading our response cards for today. First one comes from Brother and Sister Short. They're asking for bereavement, spiritual strength. Dear church family, I'm requesting safe travels for my family members of Brother Kevin Smith. Also, please pray for Sister Smith as she struggles with the loss of her husband. Appreciate it. Please ask God to help her endure the difficult times ahead. Next response card coming from Harry and Chanel Cook, Traveling Grace. All right. Card from Lazonda Hall, am I saying that right? Spiritual strength. Requesting prayer for the Shannon Lester and the loss of her colleague. Response card for Michaela Gills, baptism and place membership. Response card from Alex Austin and TJ, asking for prayers for their brother Kendall, for our brother Kendall Banks family, for the Kendall Banks family. Have another response part, didn't have a name, but it's just asking for prayers for a coworker, Zed Walker, and family. His wife passed away from an accidental shooting. Response card for Sydney Reed II, spiritual strength, general prayer request, and thanksgiving. We are thankful for all the blessings God has truly blessed us. Kimberly got the promotion she wanted at work. Amen. Please pray for me with strength spiritually and mentally. And the last one from Gloria Peden, bereavement, asking prayers for the Stampley family. Max Stampley passed away last week. And then, I don't know if this was one, but another prayer response card. Church, on behalf of Jackie's sister, sister Jackie Smith, if anyone would like to donate or contribute to services for Brother Kevin Smith, can give drinks, waters, and or cakes. Bring it on Wednesday or Saturday. Franklin Street Church. If I could get everyone to bow their heads. Heavenly Father, come to you, open hearts. Thank you for awakening us today. Thank you for the word that you provided us today. Allow us just continue to seek your face as we continue just to stay with you, God. We so thankful for you to be the true vine and us as the branches, Father God, allowing us to stay with you, God. Please allow us to look deep within ourselves as we prune our hearts, get closer to you as we continue to grow. And also that same, Father God, just ask that you continue just to allow us to stay with you through the highs, but then also through the lows. We are hurting, Lord, and in these times, more than ever, Father God, the enemy may provide ways to kind of get away from you, but in these times, it's more and more evident that just continue to stay by you and going through these times that we just continue to grow that steadfastness and that blessing, that thankfulness that you continue just to offer us, God. Continue to provide us love, Father God, grace and mercy. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Let us prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper. I come to the garden alone, while the dew
is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Also, be providing the Lord's Supper, weekly devotion, which we do in the remnants of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ, as we not only remember him, but remember the ultimate sacrifice. I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians 11:23, starting from the New King James Version. For I've received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take it. This is the body of my broken. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks of in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning to the Lord's body." If I can get everyone bow their head. Heavenly Father, we come to you today as we prepare for the Lord's Supper. Thank you for the love that you've shown us through Jesus Christ and his body broken, in his blood poured to the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, continue just to allow us to search our hearts today, cleanse us, renew us, and draw us closer to you. As we take this bread and cup, help us to remember the depth of your sacrifice and victory in your resurrection. Unite us in one body as we fill the Spirit and continue to walk with love, humility, and obedience. In Jesus' name we pray. This is the part where we talk about collections of saints. To the left of me, have our donation box, typically done at the beginning, also after church. In this part, if I could just have everyone bow their heads. Heavenly Father, just come to you. Thank you again for your immaculate grace. Ask, Father God, that the funds used be counted efficiently and effectively. Let these funds be used for the use of the church. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Christiany has been coming for weeks and weeks. If y'all hadn't sat and talked to Christiany, y'all need to sit and talk. Stand up, Christiany. Brother, this is Brother Williams' daughter. And Brother Williams been working on Sunday, so he hadn't been able to come. But let me tell you something. She has been right there every single Sunday. So let's continue to encourage her to be here. And let's wrap our arms around and do whatever we can do for her as well. All right? Let's not forget that. Now, Brother Clifton priest membership last week. And Michaela, we got to do a Bible study with.
Michelle.
I'm sorry, Michelle. See, stay with me. Michelle needs a Bible study. We was talking about that this morning, a little bit earlier. So anybody who's interested in helping her with that as well, let's wrap our arms around her so that she can understand the will of God for her lives as well. That she might be found in Christ as we are as well. I don't see any visitors in here because y'all regular members now. The Tibbs family, they're just us now. We're from the place membership. Tug. Y'all enjoy your Sunday. Thank God for being here. Hopefully God will continue to bless your life each and every day. Enjoy this holiday season and enjoy this weekend. It's kind of rainy and cold, but you know, God knows what goes on in all of our lives. And let's continue to pray for one another. Again, thank you for praying for me and my family, other families that are grieving as well. And there are other families going through joys, and we can rejoice with them as well. Amen. So let's continue to be for God what he's called us to be here at 431 Franklin, and let's be lights throughout the world. Thank you all so much.
May your team win. As we come to the close of our fellowship this morning. Jesus gave his life a ransom yonder on Calvary, on Mount Calvary, cruel Calvary. Paved the way by blood that we might win a shot. We praise his blessed holy name. Salvation has been brought down, oh glory. The Lord, blessed Lord, salvation has been. From heaven, go and shout, telling the world all, go preach it and to people in sorrow, and tell it tomorrow. Preach the word of God that we might win a shining crown in heaven. Tell the lost, all the lost, to sinners spread the news. Blessed news all over the land, and go teach it, and in every nation, all over creation. Praise the Lord, blessed Lord, salvation has been brought down. Father God, we thank you ever so much for being a part of our lives this morning to give us another portion of thy holy divine truth. As we stay with you and you stay with us as we begin our new week, that we might be the fruits that you would have us to be. Father God, continue to bless the new converts. Be over those that are going through bereavements. Brother Stampley, Sister Barbara, and Brother Collins, and Sister Smith. Father God, we know that you're just God. You're too wise to make mistakes and too just to do those things which is wrong. We know that this is an appointment that everybody have to make, and we just trust and pray that the family continue to embrace your love and your protection. As we go into the furthest week, may we continue to protect our faith in you, in our hearts, that we might be the product that you would have us to be as we go out the first of the week. Be with us throughout these holidays, and we ask that you strengthen us where weak and build us where we're torn down. We also asking that for those that do not understand our religious conviction, Father God, that you would prick their hearts and let them be noble enough to ask the question, what must I do to be saved? For those that are within the body, Father God, we ask that you continue to knock on the hearts of us, that we might continue to let you sup with us. In Jesus' name, amen.